Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
The early 1800s in America brought about a season of great change to the country. The Industrial Revolution was gaining great momentum, and the introduction of railroads all across the country began to surface. Many people, however, feared that such great change would lead to the downfall of the nation. A man by the name of Andrew Jackson was the president of America at the time, and he received many opposing letters from people demanding that change not take place. One of the most notable letters he received was from the governor of New York, a man by the name of Martin Van Buren. And the following that I'll read to you is an excerpt from the letter dated 31 January 1829 that was sent to the president. Mr. Van Buren wrote, he said, "As you may know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour by engines. In addition to endangering life and limb of passengers, they roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring the livestock, and frightening women and children. The Lord Almighty certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speeds." Here was a man who was clearly resistant to great change, and I think perhaps that he represents many people in life who are reluctant to embrace change and continually resist the change that needs to take place. But the reality is that in our world, things change all the time. We live in a high-paced society. We live in a fast-changing world. And certainly over the past few weeks, all across our country and all across the world, we have seen change take place on a global scale. I think it's fair to say that this coronavirus has sent our world into a panic. Chaos has erupted. We've seen widespread change all across the globe. But whenever we find ourselves in a season of great change, it's very important that we learn to navigate the season well. And so I want to speak to you today in your home on navigating a season of great change. You know, the truth is that things change, people change, circumstances change, but God is unchanging. And when everything around us is perhaps falling apart and things are different to what they used to be, as believers, we can take great encouragement from the fact that God Himself does not change. In fact, in Malachi 3 verse 6, the Lord reminds us and He says, "I am the Lord and I do not change." In an uncertain world and in uncertain times, God is still there on the throne of heaven. He has not lost control of what is taking place on earth. He's still the same. In fact, Hebrews 13 verse 8 in the Amplified Bible says that Jesus Christ is eternally changeless, always the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same in the past, He's the same in the present, and He's the same in the future. The God that we serve is unchanging. And in a time of great change, we can hold on to that fact, as the Word tells us, that God is unchangeable. I read of a man who was from a rural part of his country in a place where things almost never change. And he visited the big city for the very first time. And he happened to find himself standing outside an elevator. Well, the elevator opened. The man noticed that a very frail, elderly-looking woman hobbled into the lift there. And then the doors closed behind her. Well, he kept watching the lift, and 1 minute later, the doors opened again, and out worked a tall, long-legged, incredibly attractive model. Well, the man was fascinated by this, and he quickly yelled at his seven-year-old son, and he said, "Billy, quickly, go fetch your mother." The reality, though, is that for all of us, change is a very normal part of life. If I think of my own life, I've had many seasons of great change that have taken place. When I was 17 years old, I left school and went and lived in Australia for years as an exchange student. I grew up in a small town with small thinking, and all of a sudden I was exposed to the big wide world out there. It was an exciting time, but it was no doubt a season of great change for me. When I returned home from Australia, having been there for a year, 4 days later I went to the army for a year. My mother took the liberty of when I was overseas to send my army papers in for me, and so I spent a year in the army. It was a season of incredible change for my life. Marriage for me was a season of great change as well. All of a sudden, not being able to just think about myself, but every decision I made from then on, I had to factor someone else in too. When we had twins, my goodness, that was a season of great change. In fact, I'm still busy now, 14 years later, trying to catch up some of the sleep that I lost in that season. Stepping into full-time ministry was a season of change as well. And then moving down to Durban 13 years ago and heading up the campus here, it was a season of great change. I've had many of those seasons, and no doubt you, where you're sitting in your lounge room today, have experienced seasons of great change. But here's the important thing to understand about change. We are either the initiators of change, or we are the recipients of change. If we are the initiators of change, then it means we are introducing the change. It might be something we've thought about, we've processed, we've prayed about it, we've planned for the outcome, and then we initiate the change. But the other type of change is when we are on the receiving end of someone else's decision to initiate the change. And I'm sure you can agree with me, that type of change is very often harder to navigate than when we initiate it ourselves. So for example, if I say to my wife one day, honey, we are going to join the gym tomorrow and we're going to be exercising every day going forward. When I make that change, I've already thought about it. I've thought about the possible outcomes. I've thought about why I want to do it. And so when I initiate the change, I'm excited about it. But because she's on the receiving end of that change, she is less excited about it. And I think for all of us in the season that we're in as a nation, change has been thrust upon us. Our country has gone into lockdown. We are not the initiators of that change. We haven't decided that. It has been decided on our behalf, and we are now asked to comply with a season of change. And, you know, we've been told all sorts of things like we can't shake hands anymore. We have to keep our distance from people. We have to be in isolation. The kids can't even go to school. Of course, the kids all think that this is a fantastic season of life. We've also been told that we can't have church the normal way. In fact, the reason you're watching today is because we're not able to gather normally. It's a season of great change for all of us. You know, it's been interesting just following social media and listening to the comments of people over the last while, and I've been quite amazed that there are still a number of Christians who are adamant that we shouldn't have to comply with the restrictions that government have put on our country, saying things like, well, we should have more faith. We should continue together as we have done. But I want to just bring you some perspective from the Bible today in Matthew chapter 2. And the events took place at a time of great change in the nation of Israel. Jesus had been born as a baby, and Herod had got news that his kingdom was now threatened by this newborn king. And so he made a decision to kill all the babies in the land under the age of 2, all the males, in the hope that he could get rid of Jesus. And the Bible says in Matthew 2 verse 13, that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with a child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This is the thing that it's important to remember today, is that a time of great change calls for a great change of action. The circumstances have demanded that we respond differently in this season of change. The seriousness of the season has demanded that we can't keep doing things the way that we've always done them. You know, what's interesting in this passage of Scripture is that the angel didn't just say to Joseph, Joseph, just have faith. Stay where you are. Keep doing what you've always done. Just have faith, Joseph, and everything will be okay. No, the angel didn't say that. Why? Because this was not an issue of faith. It was an issue of wisdom, and it was an issue of safety, and it demanded a different response. Verse 19 then carries on and says that when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said, take the child and his mother back to Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. I believe even for us as a church, when the threat has been eradicated, when it is deemed to be safe to return, we'll be able to gather again as normal. Life will be able to go on. But until then, it's important to note that a time of great change calls for a great change of action. There was a man who went to see his doctor one day, and he was quite a stubborn man. He was reluctant to make any changes to his lifestyle. And as a result, his health had deteriorated quite significantly. And the doctor very bluntly said to him, "Listen, you are in terrible shape. You have to do something about it." The doctor said, "First, you need to go tell your wife that she needs to start cooking you more nutritious meals. Secondly, you have to stop working like a dog. Then also, you need to tell your wife that you've put a budget together and she needs to stick to it. And then lastly, you need to have her keep the kids away from you so that you can learn to completely relax." The doctor said, "Unless there are some changes like this in your life, you will probably be dead within the next month." Well, the man was shaken by the doctor's diagnosis, and he said, "Look, doctor, would you maybe be able to call my wife and communicate that to her?" Anyway, a couple of hours later, when the man got home, his wife rushed to him with tears in her eyes, and she said, "I talked to your doctor. You poor man, you've only got 30 days left to live." I love that story. It reminds me of what Henry Ford once said. He was the great innovator and initiator of change. He said, "The man who is too set to change is already dead. The funeral is a mere detail." Can I appeal to you in this season of great change not to be resistant? Don't be stubborn. Don't try bend the rules and do your own thing. Let's comply with the government. Let's do what we need to do. Let's play our part. Let's be part of the solution and not add to the problems that we have. And I firmly believe that if we can navigate this season of change well, we'll come out far better on the other side of it in Jesus' name. Someone once said that one of the happiest moments in life is when you find the courage to let go of what you cannot change. I want to read another passage of Scripture today from Luke chapter 1, and this is a portion of Scripture that we often use at Christmas time and associate with a Christmas story, but again, it gives great insight as to how to navigate a season of great change. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." You know, here we see that Mary's life in a moment was radically changed. She entered into a season of great change. It was a season that she didn't initiate. She wasn't the one who came up with this idea. Change was thrust upon her. She was the recipient of someone else's change. And in a moment, everything was different for Mary. But I love Mary's response, because in a season of great change, our response is crucial as to how we then navigate that season. And we read in verse 38, it says, "Mary responded, 'I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true.' And then the angel left her." Mary responded well. Mary responded correctly to the season of great change. And as a result, we see that she was greatly used by God. She also became a carrier of the Lord Jesus Christ in her womb, and it positioned her to receive great favor from God. I believe for us too, if we can embrace the season of change, if we can navigate it well, that you and I too will be used by God in great capacity. We will also collectively as a church reach people in places of the world and carry the message of Jesus to places that we've never carried it before. And I believe ultimately it will also position us to receive favor from God. I want to share a few thoughts from this passage with you today to encourage you and help you navigate the season of great change. The first thing is this, is to remember that the Lord is still with us. You know, this was the angel's first assurance to Mary. He said, the Lord is with you. Have you ever wondered why he said that? Well, I think it's simply because our natural response in a season of great change is to question the goodness of God and wonder whether God is still with us or perhaps whether God has left us. The Bible says that Mary was confused and she was disturbed. And I think that reflects how most people in our world have responded to the coronavirus issue. People are confused. People are disturbed. People have gone into panic mode. And Mary needed reminding, as you and I need reminding today, that God is still with us. Can I encourage you? God is still with you today. He is still with you and your family. He is still with you and your business. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't left you. You know, we've been told that we have to now distance ourselves from other people. But can I remind you, God is not distancing himself from you. Our country has gone into a lockdown. But I'm so glad that heaven has not gone into a lockdown. For God and his kingdom, it is still business as usual. In Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus reminded his disciples before he went to heaven by saying, be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And I don't think he made an exception for the coronavirus season. He didn't say, I'm with you, but when that coronavirus strikes, well, I'm actually going into isolation. I'm going to leave you on your own for a bit. No, no, the Lord is not going anywhere. Never forget, he's carried us this far. He sustained us through all of this, and he will continue to lead us and guide us through this difficult season of change. The second thing to do is to override natural fear with supernatural faith. The second thing the angel said to Mary was simply, don't be afraid. You know, again, I think the reason the angel said that is because fear is generally the first symptom we experience when we go through a great season of change or uncertainty. And, you know, I think whenever we enter a new season, there's always a degree of faith that will be attached to it. You know, when you get married, it's a great season to go into, but even that can bring a measure of fear. You know, will I be able to live up to my partner's expectations? Will this marriage be able to work in a world where so many marriages don't work? I think when we go into parenthood, there's fear there. You know, how will I raise this child? How will I know what to do in moments of crisis? If you change job, there's a measure of fear. Will I fit in with the people here? Will it work out the way that I hope it will? For young people who change school, there's a measure of fear. There's the fear of not fitting in. There's the fear of not connecting with other kids. And certainly if you start a new business, there's a measure of fear as well. Will it work out? Will the economy change? Will I go bankrupt? So fear is a natural part of a new season of life. But the thing that we need to understand that although fear is always lurking, we don't have to entertain fear and we don't have to let fear rule in our lives. You know, when we talk about all the negative things and we keep reminding ourselves of them and we keep watching all the bad news, all those things do is they bring fear into our lives. And the more we partake of that, the more we feed our fears. But I want to encourage you rather, don't feed your fears, because if you feed your fears, we will end up starving our faith. Max Lucado, the Christian author, put it so nicely. He said, the presence of fear does not mean that you have no faith. You know, sometimes we can experience fear and we can think, well, I must have no faith, but that's not true. He says fear visits everyone. It visited Mary, it will visit my life, and it will visit your life. But then he says, make your fear a visitor and not a resident. I think that is absolutely essential in dealing with fear. Make fear a visitor, not a resident. When fear comes and rings on your doorbell, and it will, don't invite fear into your life. Don't invite fear in to come have some cookies with you and a cup of tea and make fear comfortable on the couch and maybe even make a room available for fear in your home. No, no, you've got to just let fear know, sorry, fear, I actually haven't got time for you. I'm busy building my faith. I'm busy redoubling my worship. I'm redoubling my praise. I'm redoubling the amount of time I spend in the Word. I haven't got time to entertain you. But I tell you what, my neighbor next door, he's been expecting you. He's waiting for you. Maybe go visit him. You are not going to take up residence in my house. You know, Psalm 23, verse 4, David responds and he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David made a choice not to invite fear into his life. He recognized that it was there, it visited from time to time, but it was not going to be given permission to become a resident in his life. And David's confidence, as we see, was not in his own ability, but it was in God's promise and God's ability to protect him and keep him safe, even in a season of great change. Can I just encourage you over these next few weeks to make sure that you are building your faith in the season? Don't waste these next few weeks. Don't waste the season. Make sure you're getting in the Word regularly, again and again each day. Make sure you take time to pray. Pray by yourself. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your family. Make sure every week you're tuning in online to watch our services so that your faith can be built and you will not end up feeding your fears. Because if we feed our fears, we will starve our faith. But as faith increases, fear will always decrease. The third thing is to know that God's favor supersedes unfavorable circumstances. The third thing the angel said to Mary was that you have found favor with God. Now, I'm pretty sure that to Mary, it seemed like a contradiction at the time, because often when we go into a season of great change, circumstances are initially not favorable for us. You know, Mary, it's not surprised, the Bible says, was confused and disturbed again, and she would have had a number of things going through her head. The angel said to her, you're going to be pregnant. Mary's thinking, a few moments ago, I wasn't pregnant. Now I am pregnant and I haven't even done anything. She would have had to have a very awkward and intense conversation with Joseph. She would have also had to go through much embarrassment. People would have seen her tummy growing. They would have known that she was unwed. And they would have been saying, ooh, Mary's been a naughty, naughty girl. Her reputation was ruined. And she also risked being put to death. Remember, the penalty under the Old Testament for adultery was to be stoned to death. Mary was entering a season of huge change in her life. She wasn't the initiator, she was the recipient of it. And yet God's favor on her life superseded the unfavorable circumstances that she found herself in. You know, I believe for us all that this season of change is not an ideal season. Every single one of us has been impacted in a huge way. But I still believe that even though many circumstances are negative, there is still great favor that God will bring on our lives in this season, and there are great benefits as well. You know, for most of us, all of a sudden, we have more family time than we've had in a long while. So many people complain about not having enough time with their kids. Well, you've got time now. You know, many of you who are workaholics have been forced to rest now. You've been forced to down your tools and just take a bit of a breather. You know, I know for me as well, all my sports teams haven't lost in the last 3 weeks. It's fantastic. Simply because, of course, none of them have played, but I don't have to stay up late at night keeping track of the score and then going to bed miserable and grumpy because my team has lost again. It's an opportunity for us to do things around the house that we haven't had time to do. It also gives us the opportunity to be creative and think a bit differently. And perhaps for this season, just to live with a little bit of margin in our lives. Because so often we live to the maximum without any margin. I think for many of us, it's also an opportunity to push the reset button. So no matter how unfavorable the circumstances are, know that God's favor will always supersede those unfavorable circumstances. The fourth thing is this, as we navigate the season of great change, is to believe that God is birthing something new. You know, the fourth thing the angel said to Mary was that you will conceive and give birth. I really believe that God is going to use this season to birth something new in your life, something new in your family, something new in your business, something new in the church, and something new across our planet as well. You know, in Genesis 50, verse 20, we read the words of Joseph to his brothers after they had betrayed him and sold him into slavery. He later said to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good." 3 weeks ago, when the president of our country let us know that things were going to change drastically and The implications for us as a church were that we wouldn't be able to gather for the next season. You know, the first thing I thought was this. I thought, I bet the devil is celebrating today. I bet he's giving fist bumps and high fives to all the demons in hell. They're thinking, yes, I've managed to shut all the churches down in one day across the entire country. But how many of you know what the enemy intended for harm, God will use for good? Remember when Jesus was crucified? I'm pretty sure the enemy celebrated like never before. But what he forgot was that there was a resurrection that was going to take place 3 days later. And I believe through the season that we're in, it might seem like death, it might seem all bad, but I believe that God is bringing about a resurrection in His church across the entire planet. Because so many churches have found new ways to reach people. We found new ways to connect with people. We are touching the lives of people that we would never have touched in any other season of life. We've all had to do things differently. And yes, change has been forced upon us. But it's been forced upon us, I believe, for the greater good of the kingdom. I believe that there will be many souls that will be added to God's kingdom through the season of change. Bob Goff, the author, said, embrace uncertainty. Some of the most beautiful chapters of our lives won't have a title until much later. You know, I believe years from now, when history records the events of the season that we're currently in, I believe it will be written of the season that it was the season of one of the greatest revivals and spiritual awakenings the church has ever seen. I believe more now than ever, God is reaching people through the means of online TV. The gospel is going out to all corners of the earth. The enemy may have intended it for evil and to hurt us, but God will use this season for good. And so I want to encourage you not to resist the season of great change, but to embrace it so that we can navigate it well. And when we come out on the other side, we will all be better and stronger as a result. Can you in your lounge room say amen to that?
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.